Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Gittin Daf Pei Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the second line from the top of Daf Pei Dalid. Before we begin the actual Gemara, we glance at the side in the margin where we have a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Hare ze giteich almanas shetinosi leploni. A man presents a divorce document to his wife with a condition on stating, this is your divorce on condition that you marry so-and-so. After we read the source, the opening source of the Gemara, which is not going to be very clear, the Gemara will be asking the question, my ka'omar, what is being said here? Following that, you'll see house markings. If you skim down the page, you'll notice three of these house markings. And under the Mivneh heading on the side, we've written three shlavim kedei lahazbir habraisa. Shlavim are stages, three stages in attempting to explain the Tanaic source, Harei Zegitech, Almanas, etc., Barosh Omud, that is found here at the opening of the Gemara. So now we begin the Gemara with an unclear Tanaic source, which, as we said, several stages of Gemara will be needed to decipher it. The Gemara, second line from the top, Tanu Rabbonon, Harei Zegitech, Almanas, Shetinosi Leploni. Here is your divorce on condition that you marry so-and-so. Harezu lo tinosei. She should not marry. Ve'im niseis lo teitzei. And if she does, so she does not leave. My ko'omar. So what has been said here? Omar of Nachman, hochi ko'omar. The Rashi explains at the top line, my ko'omar, hai lo tinosei de ko'omar, leman ko'omar. The Tanaic source said, after hearing the condition, it ruled she should not get married. To whom should she not get married? To the person that was specified in the condition that she should marry him? O l'chol adam, or is it not to marry other people, anyone else? So, Omar Rav Nachman, Hochi Komar, Hare Zu, Lo Tinosei, Lo. After the condition was stated to the woman, here is your get on condition that you marry so-and-so, the source goes on to say, she should not marry that person. Shema Yomru, because it could lead to people saying, Nishehem Noisnin Ben Matono, that people give their wives away as gifts. And that's a very demeaning, an unpleasant thing to be said. And if she should marry someone else, she should not leave that other marriage. Rashi says, "V'im niseis l'acher lo teitze." On the third line from the top, he says, "Shelo lahachzik t'nai zeh," so as not to give strength to confirm the condition. So we're basically saying she should not follow the conditions for her divorce, and thereby we won't strengthen the idea of people giving their wives away as gifts. The Gemara asks, well, that is very hard to understand. Umishum gezeira, because of a consideration that people shouldn't say that people give their wives as gifts. Lo mafkinon mine, are we not going to take her away, in other words, force her to leave this second marriage, namely the marriage to the outsider? Visharinon eishes ish la'almo, and thereby, in effect, allow a woman who is technically still married Why do we say she's still married? Because she didn't fulfill the condition. The condition was, you're divorced on condition that you marry so-and-so. She went ahead and married someone else, and you're telling me, well, because she, since she married someone else, she shouldn't leave that second guy, but she didn't fulfill the conditions of her divorce. If she didn't fulfill the conditions of her divorce, she's still married to the original husband. How can you leave her married to the Isha Acher, to the other guy? Elo Omar Rav Nachman. Hochi Komar. So here we have a refinement of what was said, what was taught. Hare zu lo tinose lo. A woman who was given the get on condition that she marry so-and-so, the source says she should not marry him. Shemo yomru nisheim no samatona. People might say, people give their wives as gifts. V'im niseis loy lo teitse. And if she, in fact, fulfills the condition and marries that designated individual, she should not leave him. Because of what people might come to say, that's not sufficient reason for us to remove her from the second marriage. There isn't any actual violation, any isur that has taken place. All that has been created is a situation where people can start murmuring, bad-mouthing what happened, but nothing more than that. Rava raises a question based on, we'll say, an inference from what one can draw. You'll notice we have a long question marking. Most of the material within this long question marking, you'll notice, if you look carefully, you'll see is contained within brackets. So that structurally, we have a note on the side that introduces the brackets. First, we'll read the main question of Rava. Omar le Rava. Rava says to Rav Nachman, Loi hu delo tinose. According to your presentation of the source, you're saying that she shouldn't marry the designated individual, because of the la'az, the murmurings people will say they are giving their wives as gifts. So to him, to that designated person, she should not marry. Ha li'acher tinosei. Should we infer, though, that she could marry someone else? Rashi says, ha li'acher tinosei v'havei gita, and it will be a good get. Why would that be a good get? Hayo velo omar, since it wasn't stated in the condition, almenas shelo tinosi elo leploni. She wasn't divorced with the condition that you're divorced on condition that you marry no one else except for so and so. Elo almenas shetinosi leploni. You're being divorced on condition that you should marry so-and-so. That means at some point you should marry so-and-so, leaving room for us to think that she could marry someone else. But self-self, hobayah l'kumeh tanah. But in the end, she has to fulfill the condition. The condition of the divorce was that she should marry the designated individual. So Rava says, from the way the source was taught, you're leaving room for us to think that she could marry someone else. And as we saw in the Rashi, it's within the realm of possibility, because the condition didn't prohibit her from marrying others. The condition simply said, on condition that you marry so-and-so. Maybe somewhere down the line. And in the meantime, she could marry someone else. But there remains a bit of a problem, and that is v'ha boy kumi l'tana. If you're going to read the source as the inference directs us, you're saying that she could marry someone else. But if she marries someone else, doesn't she still need to fulfill the tanai, the condition that the divorce is, the divorce is dependent on her marrying the designated individual? Now, you notice we have a starred comment. And on the side, in the margin, we've written, Kan mistayim iku kushis Rava. Till this point is the basic question of Rava. On the one hand, the inference of the source says she could marry someone else. That is not precluded. But there is nevertheless the need for her to fulfill the condition of marrying the designated individual. But Sograya Muva, within the brackets, there is brought the Chitema, a suggested response. Udechiyoso, but then the rejection of that, which in the Gemara it says, Hochi Hashta. That's the words in which you'll see the Gemara rejecting the suggested response. Ubahem Shech, as we continue in the source, there's an internal angular brackets that we've noted. But Sagram, Tov Sagram, Muva Hareka Shalav Chitema. You'll see that there is a background for the Vachitema, for the suggested answer. But as we said, when you look at this bracketed section, it opens up with a Vachitema statement, a suggestion, and a suggested response to Rava's question. In other words, Rava himself is raising, maybe you'll answer thusly, thus, and thus. And as the source goes on, you'll see the expression Hachi Hashta, which is a rejection of that suggested response. After all said and done, that leaves you with Rava's question remaining. And that brings you, after the bracketed section, Elo Omar Rava. Do you notice the third house marking? And there Rava gives his explanation of the source that opened the sukkah. So now we go back to the Gemara, to the bracketed section. The question Rava raises is that true, according to the condition that was stated, there's a seeming possibility that upon her being divorced, she could go marry some other man other than the designated individual. And there'd be nothing wrong with that. Ah, but there is a problem. The Gemara, Rava asked. There's still is the need for the fulfillment of the Gishin. In other words, the divorce doesn't become a full-fledged, signed, sealed, and delivered divorce until she fulfills the condition. How, therefore, can we imply that she could marry someone else? After all, if a condition is not fulfilled, the marriage to someone else would be totally forbidden. And yet, once again, I know we're sounding a little repetitive, but the condition, as was stated, implied she could marry someone else. But what about the condition of marrying the designated individual? Ah, v'chitemo, efshir demintzeva hayom, umigrusha lemochar, umekayma letana. You might say, you know what, she could go marry that outsider today and be divorced tomorrow, and then marry the designated individual. Ulahach depligas ole de Rav Yehuda komedamis le. And you, Rav Nachman, are comparing this to the topic concerning which you have an argument with Rebbe Yehuda. We're going to see within the angular brackets what Rava was just referring to. But the main point is that you, Rav Nachman, are relying on your position in an outside machlokus, in a separate machlokus, which is in the angular brackets. And based on your position over there, you're in fact saying, you're interpreting the source above like we said. She could marry someone else because we're confident that she's going to come to fulfill the condition, as we suggested in the Vechitemo reading, namely, let her marry the outsider today, get divorced tomorrow, and then go on to fulfill the condition. In simple terms, we wrote in between the lines that he's not choshesh, that Rav Nachman is not choshesh, he's not worried that people will be lax with the fulfillment of conditions. Where do we see Rav Nachman taking this position of not being choshesh, not worrying about people not fulfilling conditions? That we see in the angular brackets. We skip them for a moment, where Rava goes on to say, Hachi Hashta. He says, how can you compare this case of marriage, of this is your divorce on condition that you marry so-and-so, and allow her in the interim to marry some outsider, to the case that we haven't read yet in the brackets? And we'll just read a little bit of the Gemara now, continue reading to give you a flavor of the problem. Hossam, in the case that Rav Nachman expressed his confidence in people fulfilling their conditions, b'didei kaimo, diboy mivriznavshe besilvisa v'loinoyim, without translating the Gemara, but there, you are in full control of the situation. It's completely within your control, and therefore, we are confident you will fulfill the conditions. However, hacha, in this case, b'dido kaimo ligrushi, is it within her power to go marry an outsider? And then that outsider would divorce her. Does she determine whether the outsider will divorce her? It's not in her hands. She might end up marrying that outsider, hoping that he'll divorce her, but if he doesn't come to divorce her, she'll never be able to come to fulfill the condition of marrying the designated individual as stated in the original condition. So there's a big difference between between Rav Nachman's case in the brackets, where he expresses his confidence that people will fulfill conditions, to this particular case, where you can feel confident in people, but if it's not in their control, how can you rely on the fulfillment of the conditions? And now we go back to the bracketed section, in which we'll see Rav Nachman's confidence in people's fulfilling conditions. V'chi kema efsher deminsevo hayom umigrusha. Let's go back to the angular brackets. Let me correct my mistake. We're looking to see Rav Nachman's confidence in people fulfilling their conditions. And as we suggested, she might go and marry the outsider today, get divorced tomorrow, and then go marry the designated individual. Where do we see Rav Nachman's confidence? The Itmar, koinem einai b'shino hayoim im ishan l'mochor. Person vows that his eyes will be prohibited in sleep. In other words, that he would be in violation of a vow if he goes to sleep. When will this vow set in? Im ishan l'mochor means if he sleeps tomorrow. So that the question is, can we let him go to sleep today? If he goes to sleep today and does not sleep tomorrow and stays up, so then everything's fine and good. He hasn't violated the vow. But if he goes to sleep today and then sleeps tomorrow, his sleeping tomorrow will be a violation of the condition. And therefore, the sleep that he did today would be a violation of the vow. Can we take a risk and let him sleep today, hoping that he will certainly fulfill the condition by remaining awake tomorrow? So, Omar Rav Yehuda, Al Yishan Hayom, don't go to sleep today. Shemo Yishan Lemochor, because you might violate the condition and sleep tomorrow. So we don't want to take a chance. Rav Yehuda is not confident that people will fulfill their conditions, their stipulations. V'Rav Nachman Omar Yishan Hayom, let him go to sleep today. This is similar to the idea of let her marry that outsider. V'ein choshishin shemo yishan lemochar, and we're not worried, we're not suspicious that he might sleep tomorrow. He certainly will not sleep tomorrow. He will certainly fulfill his condition. And the parallel to the case that we're discussing in our sugi is, we're confident that she will come to marry the designated individual, even though today she's marrying the outsider. To this, Rava, though, says, you, Rav Nachman, cannot rely on your position in the case of Kainim Einai Bishino Hayom, Hachi Hashta, how can you compare the cases? Hasam Bedide Kaimo, in the case of not sleeping tomorrow, where Rav Nachman was confident in fulfilling the condition, Bedide Kaimo, it's dependent on the individual himself, the person who vowed. De'i boy mivriz nafshe besilvasa velo noyim. When it comes to the next day, let's say he sleeps today. When tomorrow comes around, he could mivriz. He could poke himself with thorns, besilvasa thorns. He can do that tomorrow and thereby keep himself awake. It's something that he is in control over. His awakened state tomorrow is something he has control over. Therefore, we can take the risk and allow him to sleep today. And there will be no retroactive violation of the condition because he will fulfill the condition by staying awake tomorrow. Aha! But in our case with the woman marrying the outsider in hopes that he will divorce her and enable her to marry the designated individual, is it within her power to determine her divorce from that second guy, from that outsider? Certainly not. So, what is pshat in the Tanaic source that opened up this Gemara? Elo Omar Rava. Hare zu lo tinose loy velo lacher. You can see that we've emphasized with this double underline marking the key phrases in the original source that need explanation. So the first phrase is the lo tinose. What does that refer to? Well, as far as Rova is concerned, not to marry the designated individual nor to marry an outsider. Loi, she shouldn't marry the designated individual. Let's read that again. Loi, lotinose, unto him, the designated individual she should not marry. Shemo yomru nishosem, those the matona. The old problem. People will say, oh, people are giving their wives as gifts. Hence, he's divorcing her with the condition that she marries someone specifically. And liachir, lotinose, unto some outsider also she should not marry. The baya kumi litanoya, because there is the need for her to fulfill the condition, namely of marrying the designated individual, and she doesn't have control over that. So we can't take a risk in allowing her to marry an outsider, which could turn out to be the marriage of an ashes ish, of a married woman. Ve'im niseis. And now we look at the contingency situation where, well, if she did marry, well, whom? Loi, if she married the designated individual, lo teitzei, she doesn't have to leave him. The mishum gezera lo mafkino, just because of the gezera, the concern of what people will say that they're giving their wives as gifts, that's not reason enough to disband that marriage. The acher teitzei. However, if she marries that outsider, we will do our best to undo that marriage. She should leave that outsider. The baya lekume letanoa. She has to fulfill the condition, and as we explained before, we're not so confident. We don't have the basis of confidence that the condition will be fulfilled on its own. So we intervene, so to speak, and insist on that marriage disbanding. Tanya kavose de Rava. We have a Tanaic source that supports Rava's understanding. It says here, Hare zu lo tinose loy velo laachir. She should not marry the designated individual nor the outsider. V'im niseis, and if she does marry the designated individual, well, if she marries, loi lo teitzei. If she marries the designated individual, then she doesn't leave. However, liachir teitzei. If she marries an outsider, we want her to leave him. So you can see that this Tanaic source, if you just look at the way we've marked it with the use of the double underlines, you can see how it supports Rava's approach. Before we continue, let's glance at the side in the margin where we have a topic heading. The no say, Hare Hamegaresh Altnai, one who divorces conditionally, What kind of tanai though? She'i efshel lekaimo, a type of condition that can't be fulfilled. Kamo almanas shetali lerokia. I'm divorcing you on condition that you you rise heavenwards. The Gemara. Tanu rabbanan. Hareze giteich almanas shetali lerokia. This is your get on condition that you rise heavenwards. Almanas sheterdi latom. On condition that you descend down into the depths. Amanas shetivli konishil dalaramas. On condition that you swallow a pole or a reed measuring 4 amos in length. Almanas shetovi li kone ben mea amo. On condition that you bring to me a pole measuring 100 amos. Almanas shetavri es hayama gdol baraglayach. On condition that you cross the great sea by foot. Eino get. The Tanakhama says the get was conditional on based on a condition that can't be fulfilled, hence the get is not going to be valid. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Oimer Kozeh get. Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, almost as his name, Tema is a word meaning something that's unusual or of a wonderment nature, especially if it was spelled with a hey at the end, but it's an easy way to remember his opinion. He says, these conditions that are of a wondrous nature, something that are impossible to fulfill, does not interfere with the get being a valid get. Klal Oma Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. He says the following rule. Kol Tanai She'i Efsher Lo L'Kaimu B'Sofo V'Hisna Olav Mitchila. So any condition that at the end cannot be fulfilled and was stated anyway as a condition, Eino Elo Kimafligo B'Dvorim V'Kosher. All it is something to, we'll say, irritate her, but the get remains a valid get. Omar Rav Nachman, Omar Rav, Halocha Kribyuda Ben Tema. And you see that Rav rules like him. Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhok, Masnisin Nami Daiko. Careful reading of a Mishnah in Maseches Bova Metzia results in following the opinion of Rav Yehuda Ben Tema. The Katani, the Mishnah there says, Kol she'ef shelo l'kayimu b'sofa hislova v'tchiloso tano kayom. Any condition that could be fulfilled at the end and is stated at the outset, that condition is a binding condition. You infer from that, ha efshar, if it is however a condition that cannot be fulfilled, tano botel. So the tanai, the condition is void, is invalid, is not reckoned with. Shema Mino. So this is also, this shows that the position or the ruling like Rabbi Ben Tema could actually be based also on the inference from the Mishnah in Bava Metzia. Before we continue, we glance once again in the margin at the, no say, the topic heading, Tanai Beget, a condition stated in a divorce, shekiyumo b'isur, that the fulfillment of that condition could be achieved only if you violate something that's prohibited. Hareze giteich amanas shetochli basar chazir. Let's say a man gives a get to his wife and says, this is your get on condition that you consume swine. Machlokes habaye v'rova im nechshav tanai. Rabbi and Rava will be in disagreement. Is this considered a real condition, or is it like the situation before of those impossible conditions? Physically, this is a condition that could be fulfilled. On a halachic basis, it's something that's strictly prohibited. Now the Gemara. Ibai Eloho. Hareze gitech amanas shetochli basar chazir mahu. This is your get on condition that you eat meat of a pig, swine, bacon, pork, etc. Is it a good get? Is it a condition that is binding? Omar Abaye hihi. It's the same as above. Yes, the same as above in the sense that just like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema said that the condition is void, it's meaningless. So too over here, the condition is meaningless. So that if you follow the ruling of Rav from before that that the halacha goes like Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, the get will be a good get, and even if she does not eat the basar chazir. Rava disagrees. Omar, efshir the ochla v'lakya. She can eat. She can eat it in the sense physically she's able to eat it. That will fulfill the condition and be subjected to lashings, which is the punishment for violating a negative command in the Torah, like the eating of basar chazir. The Gemara now goes over these two opinions, Abai and Rava, based on what was stated in the source above. Use the arrows that you have in both spaces to either side of the Gemara text. You can see to the right-hand side we have an arrow, and it points up to the line above where Klal Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamo Kol Tanai Sheefsher Lekaimo. Klal is a general principle. So we read our Gemara. It says Labaye Klal Lasui Basar Chazir. Contained in that general statement in the source above, where Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamo said, "Well, as a general rule, conditions that you cannot fulfill includes this condition of eating basar chazir. It's a condition you cannot fulfill." Meaning, in halach, Abai says, the halachic validity determines whether it's a condition one can fulfill or not. So if it's halachically unacceptable, it's viewed as a condition that cannot be fulfilled. LaRava, notice we have an arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. In the source above, we saw Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamo saying, Kozeh get. The word Kozeh implies something is excluded. Namely, this is a get, something else is not. So, L'Rava Kozeh Limute Basar Chazir. The statement made by Rabbi Yehuda ben Tamo above, as what's considered a non-condition, those were cases of things, those are things that could not physically be accomplished. However, something that could physically be accomplished is considered a binding condition. So the term kozeh comes to exclude from the realm of the impossible the case of basar chazir. We have a new marking and in the margin we have under the mivneh heading the triangle, which represents questions in two directions. You'll see the inverted triangle and on the second line from the top of Omid Beis. So these are questions that are kushyos al Abaye v'Rava, questions directed at Abaye and Rava. So the first question you'll see is a question directed at Rava. Meisve Harei Zegitech Almanas Shetivarli Leploni. This is your get, a man says to his wife, on condition that you have intimacy with so-and-so. And the terms of the intimacy are all-encompassing, namely, either in a non-marital situation, a znus situation, or in the context of marrying him. So a man gave a get to his wife on condition that she has intimacy with so-and-so. Niskayim hatnai arei ze get. If she has that intimacy with so-and-so, she is divorced. V'imlav, eino get. If she doesn't have that intimacy with so-and-so, she will not be considered divorced. Another condition. Almanas shelo tivarli la'abo lovich. This is your condition. This is your get on condition that you do not have intimacy with your father, with my father, or with your father. These are obviously relatives that are strictly forbidden. So he's giving her the get on condition that she does not conduct intimacy with them. Ein chayshishin shema nivala lahen. We don't consider that she might have intimacy with them. So the get is considered a straightforward get, and we're not concerned that she'll violate the conditions. We take a look at Rashi. Rashi's more than halfway down. He says, "Ein choshishin shema nivalo lahem klomar muteres linose miyad." A woman who receives a get with this condition stated in it is allowed to marry immediately. V'ein choshishin shema tivat tiboyel lahen vivata leget. And we're not worried she might have intimacy with them, which would result in the voidance of the get. Aval omar law. if the husband would say Almanas Shelo Tivali Liploni, I'm giving you this get on condition that you don't have intimacy with so and so, ain't no get. That's not a good divorce. Shemo Tiboyo, though, we're worried she might have relations with him, with that individual. Dumio de Almanas Shelo Teochi Lebeis Avich Leolam. Similar to a get that's given on condition that you don't go to your father's house forever. We don't accept that as a get because she might end up going to her father's house. Let's continue into the Gemara. Ve'ilu almenas shetiva'ali la'abu lavich lo katoni. The source does not say this is your get on condition that you have intimacy with your father or my father. A get like that would be a good get only if she has intimacy with him, according to Rava. So we say La Baye Nicha La Rava Kashya. According to Abaye, this source that left out that case is understandable. In other words, if he would have given her a get on condition that she has relations with her father or his father, even if she doesn't have those relations, the get would still be a good get. But as far as Rav is concerned, why not teach this case of Almanas Shetivali La'abo Lavich and say, like you said in the Reisha, that if she's Mekayim the Tanai, it's a get, and if not, it's not a good get. So wouldn't this have been parallel to the case of Almanas Shetochli Basar Chazir? Before we go further, we glance at the Rashi. La'abaye Nicha V'chulei Mishum Devilidei L'Rabbi Yudah Ben Tema, according to Abaye, within the opinion of Rabbi Yudah Ben Tema, Afilu Lo Yiskayim, even if the condition is not fulfilled, Harei Zeget Elo L'Rava Kashya. But according to Rava, the absence of this case is a difficulty. Doha Omar, he said, Afilu Rabbi Yudah Ben Tema Moitba, that even Rabbi Yudah Ben Tema would concede that a condition like this is a binding condition. The Gemara continues. Omar Loch Rava, Bishlama Basar Chazir, the example of this is your get on condition that you eat pork, and she needs to fulfill that in order for it to be a binding get, Efshir de Ochla Velakya. It's possible for her to eat it and then subject herself to lashing. Ploni Nami, the case featured in the Tanaic source, namely on condition that you have relations with so-and-so. Efshir de Meshachado Bei Bemamona. She could pay him money, literally bribe him, and if he doesn't want to have relations with her out of marriage, so he could marry her and have relations with her in a kosher form. Elo abo v'avich b'dido kaimo. Is it within her power to do something about it? Nehi de'i avdo isura. Granted, she would be willing to do the sin. Abba, like eating the basar chazir above. But this is a kind of avera that, as they say, it takes two to do it. Abba vavich mi avdi yisura. Father, his father, her father, who says they will do the isur? And in this case, money isn't going to make any difference. The isur remains an isur. Who says they're going to want to do the isur? L'rava klal the expression we had in the source above, if you recall, we used arrows above. If you go back to the arrows pointing in the source, you saw the term klal omer Rabbi Yudah ben Betema. The klal, the inclusive expression, comes to include this case as another example of a tnai that cannot be fulfilled. So, and as far as Rava is concerned, a tnai as far as we should say Rav Yehuda ben Tema is concerned, a Tanai that cannot be filled is not considered a Tanai. Rava would say this example is included there, and that is alluded to by the term klal. Kazeh lemute besar chazir. This Rava said earlier, the kazeh expression that Rav Yehuda ben Tema used excludes besar chazir from the realm of those conditions that cannot be fulfilled. We continue at the top of Omid Beis, La Baye, Klal Losui Besar Chazir. This is a point that Abaye had mentioned earlier, that the term Klal includes Besar Chazir as being considered a condition that cannot be fulfilled, just like rising to the heavens or going down into the depths. Koze Limute Ploni. And the Koze, meaning in the original statement of Rav Yehuda ben Tema, kozeh get, being a condition that need not be fulfilled, those were stated. Those don't interfere with the get being a get. However, amenas shetivali liploni, that is a condition that needs to be fulfilled. And hence the kozeh expression in the original source of Rav Yehuda ben Tema excludes the case of ploni. We look at Rashi at the top. Ulabaye kozeh limute ploni dieno get ad shetivoylo. In that case, it's not a get until she fulfills the condition. Debiyodo lahashchido b'mamon v'yisana b'heter. It's in her power to buy him off, so to speak, with money and convince him to marry her. Meisvei. Again, a question is raised, but in this case, you'll see that the question is directed against Abaye. Hareze giteich amanas shetochli basar chazir. This is your get on condition that you eat pork. Ve'imhoi sazora, and if you're dealing with a woman that's a non-kohenes, she's not from a kohen family, or I should say she's married to a non-kohen, Amanas shetochli truma. This is your get on condition that you eat truma. Truma for a zora, for a non-kohen, is forbidden. So he's saying this is your get on condition you eat this forbidden food. The truma, of course, being the tithe one separates from his produce and gives to kohanim. V'im hoiso nezira, and if the wife was a nezira, one who vowed not to consume vine products, including wine, amanas shetishtiyayin. And here's your get on condition that you drink wine. Niskayim atanai reze get. V'imla veino get. If the condition is fulfilled, so then the get is binding. If the condition is not fulfilled, so the get is not a get. She's not divorced. So here you have, in fact, in explicit terms, the example of Besar Chazir. And the source relates to it as a binding condition. L'rova nicha. According to Rava, this is fine, because even in those conditions that are associated with the violation of sin, you need to fulfill them in order to validate the get. According to Abaye, no. So this source is a problem for Abaye, because this source recognizes a condition based on violation of a mitzvah as being a binding condition. Omar loch Abaye. Misavris divrei hakoli. Who says that this source is a unanimous opinion? Ha moni rabbononhi. This is a source in accordance with the opinion of the rabbonon. I was saying my opinion in accordance with Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema. Before continuing, let's glance in the margin under the Nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Lefi Rava, the Tanai Shekiyumo Tolui Basias Isur Have Tanai. According to Rava, that a condition that's based on the violation of a sin is nevertheless a binding condition. Lama Eno Nechshav Kemasna Mashokos Vitura Utno Bota. Why is it not categorized as one who makes conditions against that which the Torah dictates, and as such would not be considered a condition? The Gemara, v'tepuklei why not conclude the masna amashikosav batorahu, the condition of you will be divorced if you eat pork. That's a condition against the Torah. V'chol hamasna amashikosav batorah tano botel. He who makes conditions that are against the Torah, such conditions are void. They don't have to be reckoned with. The question has been presented. As you can see, diamonds appear, and on the side under the Mivneh heading, the note reads, Masaya Rinon Masna Mashikosa Batura Tano Batanuk. Under what conditions do we really say this principle? So we read in the Gemara, Omar Avado Braid Ravika, Ki Amrinon Masna Mashikosa Batura Tano Batel. When do we say that such a condition against the Torah, it is void? Kagain She'erok susav einosa. Here the Gemara is being quite brief. This is a reference to the terms of marriage. A man who marries a woman is obligated by the Torah to provide her she'era, food, susa, clothing, vonosa, and intimacy, conjugal relations. Imagine a man says, I'm marrying you on condition that I do not have to provide these three provisions. So the so Rav Ada tells us, one who enters a marriage with such a condition, on condition that I don't have to provide you she'ero, ksusa, ve'enosa, to who ko'okar? That's because he, the husband, is uprooting the institution of marriage as the Torah perceives it. Avol hocha, ihi ka'okra. Here, in our case, the woman is the one that is uprooting the Torah provision. He, the husband, gave her a get, on condition, and he said, on condition that you eat pork. The husband, in doing so, wasn't uprooting anything of the Torah. If she eats the pork, so she's uprooting the Torah. The Gemara asks on this answer, Maskiflo Ravina, Klum ko'okra ii, elo lekumi letanai didei, ishtakach diihu ko'okar. She, in eating the Basar Chazir, is doing so only to fulfill his condition. In the total picture, then, it's really he who is uprooting the Torah teaching. So if, in the just like the case of Sheir Ksus V'Oino, such a condition is void, so to hear such a condition should be void on the grounds of Masa Mashikosa B'Torah. Hello, Omer Avina. Ki Amrinon Masna Mashikosa B'Torah to know Botel. When do we apply that principle? Kagon She'eru Ksusa V'Enosa Devadai Ko'okar. That's a type of, say, marriage where the violation against the Torah will definitely take place. Rashi, on the fourth line from the top, says, Devadai ko'okar, sherei mosar lo kiddushin. Here he is giving her kiddushin, meaning he's marrying her, he's giving her money, or money equivalent, in exchange for her agreeing to marry him. Varei hi ishto l'schayev b'kulon. And behold, she becomes his wife. And as far as the Torah is concerned, he has to provide all of those points. V'chi asni almanas shelo yischayev. Have a leoker, and when he makes a condition not to provide those, he is definitely uprooting that which the Torah says. The Torah says, you in marrying a woman are doing so on condition to provide those things. And here you're saying you're not going to provide those things. So you're definitely uprooting the Torah's stipulation, the Torah's provision for what constitutes a marriage. Avol hocha mi ko'omar lo lo sagya de lo achla. In this case where he's giving the divorce, on condition that she eats the basar chazir, is he telling her that it will be impossible for you if you don't eat the basar chazir? Lo techo v'lo tigrash. There's another option that's open for her. Namely, let her not eat the basar chazir and not be divorced. So in the case of the basar chazir, it's not the equivalent of masne amasha kosov b'torah. In masne amasha kosov b'torah, you're setting up a situation where you are definitely uprooting the Torah's provision. Once you marry the woman, you have to provide those things. You can't not provide them. However, in giving a divorce on condition that she eats the basar chazir, there's another track that's available, as the Gemara just said. Let her not eat the basar chazir and not be divorced. So we don't have a definite uprooting of the Torah. We had a Mishnah way back on Pei Beis Omid Aleph, and in the Mishnah it is said Ketzad Yase Yitlenu Heimeno V'chulei. Now, just to review the Mishnah itself, so on Pei Beis Omid Aleph, the Mishnah had said, we're going over the Mishnah there. Hamagarish Es Ishto V'yomer Lo Hareat Muteres L'Cholodim Elo L'Ploni Reb Elozer Matir V'Chomim Oisrin Ketzad Yase. And here you see the quote from the Mishnah. According to the Chachomim, a woman who was divorced and said you are allowed to marry anyone except for so-and-so, the Chachomim said such a get is not a good get. So what should happen? What should take place? He has to take, the husband has to take the get back from the woman and then give it to her again. As the Mishnah says, Yitlenu Imeno V'yachsu V'yitlenu La V'yoyma Hare'at Muteres L'chol Adam, and then pronounce in an unqualified fashion, you are now allowed to marry anybody. The Mishnah then described the husband physically taking the get back from the woman and re-presenting it to her. Man Tana, who holds thusly, that speech alone would not have sufficed. In other words, why not have her hold the get as she originally received it, and let the husband say, listen, you are really muteres to marry anyone, without any qualifications. Why? Who is the author of the Mishnah that requires her to physically return the get to the husband and him give it again to her? Omar Chizkiah. You notice we have a new marking, a house marking, and on the side, under the Mivneh, the house represents Shtei Tshuvos L'Sheilas Mantana, two responses to the question of who is the author. So Chizkiah says, Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer he. Desanya. Here we have a source that we saw back on the Ayin Ches Omid Aleph. Back on Ayin Ches Omid Aleph, the source had said, and if you have it available, so by all means, turn back to Ayin Ches Omid Aleph. There was a source that said as follows, and we're reading now from Ayin Ches. Omar Lo Kinsi Shtar Chov Zeh. Man said to a woman, and his intention is to divorce her, but he says to her, take this bill of collection. Oh, Sheshofoso Me'achorov V'Koroso, or she slipped a document from behind him and read it. Vahare Hu Gita. And it, lo and behold, it turns out to be her divorce. Eino get. Achiyomar lo ha giteich. Divrei Rebbe. It's not a get until the husband says, this is your get. You can see there that Shitas Rebbe doesn't require her returning the get to the husband and has re-presenting it to her. Reb Shimon ben Elozer Omer lo'olam eino get ad sheyitlenu heimeno v'yachzor v'yitnenu lo v'yomer lo ha'giteich. According to Reb Shimon ben Elozer, he is the one that says that it's not a get until he takes it back from her and re-presents it to her, stating, this is your get. So Chizkiah says, our Mishnah that requires the return of the get to the husband and his re-giving it to her, that's Reb Shimon ben Elazar Desanya. Now we continue reading in our Gemara text, Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ad Shiyitlenu Heimeno V'yachzer V'yitneno La V'yomer Lo Hagitech, and then say to her, this is your get. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Afilu Teimo Rabbi. Rabbi Yochanan says that our Mishnah that says she has to give the get back could conform to Rebbe as well. Rebbe, true, over there disagrees with Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Dilchon Omar. Dilchon is a, we'll say, a nickname or a code name for Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana says, Shiny Hocha. By the way, it's worth noting that Rabbi Yochanan here is quoting Rav Kahana. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, presents a story that in which you see how Rabbi Yochanan came to refer to Rav Kahana as Dilchon. We're not going to get into that now. We're simply going to say that Rav Yochanan is quoting Rav Kahana that says, Shiny Hocha. The case here is different. The case here where a man gave her a get, which according to the Rabbanan is not a legitimate get. He said, here the get took effect. It's a get that took effect. It had some halachic, had some legal effect. As a result, if you want to rectify the situation, you have to start all over. As opposed to the case there, where Rebbe said it wasn't a get, and nothing had transpired. So that the original giving was still valid. And all that needed to be done is a verbal clarification. Namely, there he says, Hare Gitech. What do we mean here? There was a legal manifestation, even though the Rabbonin say it's not a get, because when he gave her the get and said, this is your get, and you're muteris to everyone except for so-and-so, a woman like that, if the husband, let's say, dies, she would not be allowed to marry a Kohen. So that even though it's not considered a true divorce, but it is a divorce enough so to label her a grusha. So there's a legal manifestation of the initial giving. If you want to rectify that kind of situation, you've got to start all over. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Rashi is less than halfway down. Shiny hacha, mishum hachi tzorch lachzor v'litlo. For the following reason, it has to be redone. The woman formally acquired the get insofar as her becoming rendered unfit to marry the kahuna. Therefore, in our case, if the husband doesn't take it back from her, lo mahanyo amira, a mere verbal statement of Hareat Muteris L'chol Adam in an unqualified fashion isn't going to help. Shreikvar Zochsaboy Amanas Tnai Rishon, because she's already acquired it based on the original condition. Avalahuda Zorek, the case in the previous Perik, Perik HaZorek, Lo Zochsaboy L'klum, she hadn't actually acquired it for any real purpose, for any, with any legal validity. Therefore, Rebbe there is willing to say that there's no need to re-present it to her. We continue in the Gemara. Koso b'socho, if the condition had been written into the get, namely, Hare at muteres cholam ela laploni, The Mishnah says that even if it's erased, the get is unfit, is rendered unfit, being that the improper condition had been written into it. On the side of the Gemara, we have a nosei slash mivneh heading. Triangles will appear. They represent in the Gemara shtei deos, two opinions. Mosai davka ksivas tnai posel es haget, aval amiras abal al peh eino posel. Under what conditions do we say that only by virtue of it having been written in the get does it render the get unfit, but the speech, the oral statement, or the oral condition, problematic condition, doesn't render the get unfit? The Gemara. Omar Rav Safra. So Rav Safra opens up with a statement that seems to be redundant to the Mishnah, which simply, he says, Kosvoi besoichoi tnan. When is the get rendered unfit? If the tnai is written into the get. Or ask Shita, Kosu Besochu Tnan. Those very words are what the Mishnah itself says. What does Rav Safra add? So Mahu Detema, Hani Mili Liachar HaToyreif. I would have thought that writing pasels, but oral speech doesn't pasel if it took place after the toreif, after the main critical elements. Toreif is a term referring to the essential elements of the divorce document. Namely, the get was prepared, properly, and then after that, the Baal stated his condition orally, Hareat Muteres L'chol Odom Elo L'ploni Avol Lifnei HaToreif Afilu Alpen Ami Posel. But without Rav Safra, I would have thought that if the husband orally states, we'll call it the problematic condition, before the Toreif was written, I would have thought that such a get, even though the condition wasn't written into it, the get is void, is rendered unfit. The problem being that while the Toreif is then going to be written, it will be written with this problematic condition in mind. Komash Malon, Rav Safra tells us that the problematic condition will invalidate a get only if it's written in. If it's stated orally, even if it's orally before the toreif, that doesn't bother us. It bothers us in terms of rendering the get unfit. Verava Omar. Rava disagrees. Lo shanu elo li'achar ha-toreif. That the writing of the problematic condition renders the get unfit is only if it's written. This is true only if it takes place, namely the oral statement of the husband would have been said after the toreif. So let's read that again. Lo shanu, the teaching of the Mishnah that Kosvoi pasul, but oral doesn't pasul. You have to add that point that oral doesn't pasul. That's only achara toreif, aval lifnei ha-toreif, afilu al peh nami pasul. But if before the toreif is written, then even the oral statement, condition of the husband, will render the get unfit, because under such circumstances, we're going to say that the Ikur HaGet, the main part of the get, was written with this incorrect condition in mind. This will say this invalidating condition in mind. The Ozda Rava Letame Rava, in his teaching just now, in his distinction that he made, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. The Yomalehu Rava Lano Dikasvi Giti Rava instructed those who are writing divorce documents. Shaskush suki labal ad kasvi sulei latorev digita. Make sure that the husband remains silent until after the Toref is written. After the Toref is written, if the husband starts stating conditions that are problematic, that wouldn't bother us. Tonu Rabbanan, kol hatnoi poislin beget, divrei Rebbe. Very sweeping statement is made. It says all conditions that are are part of a divorce, they render the get unfit. Rashi says poislin beget im kosfu besocho vafilin is kaim etnai. If it's written into the get, even if the condition is fulfilled. So Rebbe is extensive in his rendering get unfit when conditions are written into them. V'chachomim omrim kol shepoisel alpeh poisel b'ksav v'chol she'enu poisel alpeh eino poisel b'ksav. That which would render a get unfit if stated orally, writing it in will render the get unfit. That kind of condition that would not render a get unfit if stated orally will not render it unfit if written in. Now, examples. Chutz shepoisel al peh, poisel b'ksav. If a woman is divorced on condition that she can marry anyone except for so-and-so, we saw shitas harabonon, that such a get is not good. A condition like that, even stated orally, it results in her not being divorced. So a condition like that, written in, will render the get unfit. However, almanas, she'eno posel alpeh, eino posel b'ksav. A condition stated like that, using the term almanas, which means on condition that, here you are divorced and muteris to everybody, on condition that you don't marry so-and-so, that kind of condition, which does not invalidate the divorce when stated orally, won't invalidate the get when written into it. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice a new marking, a bow tie shape, and on the side of the under the Nosei / Mivne heading, see this bow tie introduces Shtei Deos Amoroyim Masai Cholkim Rebbe Vachomim B'Ksivas Tnai Almanas Beget. We just had a Tanaic source in which Rebbe and the Chachomim would argue concerning a condition of the Almanas type written into a get, la'achara toref, fneha toref, is the machlokas when it's written in after the mainstay of the get, the main body of the get, the toref, the names and the places of the couple. Is there machlokas lefneha toref if written in before the mainstay of the get? We'll also be using a double underline to highlight the expressions machlokes and divrei kol. Under what circumstances is there a machlokes, and under what circumstances is there agreement? So what we have, once again, is we have two Amoraic opinions as to under what circumstances Rebbe and the Chumam, the Tanoim, disagree. Under what circumstances will there be agreement? The Gemara. Omar Rebbe Zera. Machlokes, the machlokes between Rebbe and the Chachamim concerning the writing in of a tnai of the almanas nature, lifnei hatoref. The Rebbe Savar, gazrina an almanas, otu chutz. The Rebbe doesn't want any conditions written in, because if you allow, we'll say, a kosher kind of condition, you might come to write in an unkosher condition, an invalid condition. When I say invalid condition, it's a condition that would render the get unfit. So Rebbe makes a gzeira of don't write almanas, so that you don't come to write in the chutz kind of condition. Rabbanan savri lo gazrinon almanas atu chutz. The Rabbanan are not worried. We don't prohibit the almanas simply because you might come to write the chutz kind of invalidating condition. Avoli achar ha-toreif, after the get has been prepared without any conditions stated, and only afterwards one wants to write in an almanas type tnai, divrei ha-kol kosher. Everyone, meaning even Revi, would say that's acceptable. Umasnisin dekotoni kosvoi, and our Mishnah that spoke about the writing in of a get, of a condition, rendering the get unfit. V'ukimna bachutz, and we set up, the Mishnah as speaking about a condition stated in bachutz terms. Avo almanas lo posil, according to our Mishnah, the almanas type condition would not render the get invalid. And the Mishnah spoke about kosvoi, writing, rendering the get invalid. E boyaseima lifnei hatoreif v'rabonon. You can say that the presence of almanas not pasaling, but only chutz pasaling. That's where the condition would be written in before the Toreif, and making the Mishnah according to the Rabbonon. V'iboyaseima li'achar ha-Toreif. You could say that the Mishnah that said writing in bachutz pasels, but almanas does not pasel, could be a case of writing in the almanas after the Toreif. The Divrei Kol, everyone would agree, and that the Kosvo puzzle is only because it was written in, was only because it was written in before the Toreif, and it was a case of writing in chutz. Just to clarify that last point, if you want to set up the Mishnah as Divrei Kol, meaning even Rebbe, what we are saying is that writing a tanai of almanas after the Toreif is something that everyone would agree with, even Rebbe. The Rova Omar machloikes liachar haToreif. The machlokes Rebbe and the Chachamim is where the condition is written in after the Toreif. The Rebbe sovar gazrinon otu lifnei haToreif. We don't want writing in conditions after the Torah because you might come to write it in before the Toreif. Rabbanan Savri lo gazrinon otu lifnei haToreif. Will allow the condition written in after the Toreif, not worrying that you might write it in before the Toreif. Avol lifnei haToreif divrei hakol posel. However, writing in a condition before the Toreif, everyone will agree, is unfit. Umasnis in dekotoni kosvoi, and our Mishnah that mentioned that the writing of the condition invalidates the get, v'ukimno bachutz, and we said that writing will, and we said that the Mishnah was speaking about a condition like bachutz, meaning you're muteris to everyone except for so and so. Avol almenas lo posil, but such a condition, you're muteris to everyone on condition that you don't marry so and so, would not render the get unfit. Achar haToreif v'rabonon hi, that conclusion will be true only if the almanas appears after the Toreif, and the Mishnah cannot be set up l'divrei hakol, it can be set up only according to the Rabbanan, because according to Rebbe, even almanas will render the get unfit, as we saw, Rebbe makes a gzera after the Toreif, otu lifnei the Toreif. Tani avua de Rebbe oven kamei de Rebbe zera. We should just note that Rebbe Zera was the first of the bow ties. Avu de Rebbe Oven says over the following Tanaic source in the presence of Rebbe Zera, Kosav get al tnai divrei hakol posel. The writing of a get with a condition, everyone agrees it's unfit. So the Gemara asks with wonderment, Divrei Hakol Posel V'Hal Miflid Plinki. What do you mean everyone posels? We saw Rebbe and the Chachamim arguing about that. Elo Eimo, rather, restate the source as follows. L'Divrei Hakol Kosher, the writing of a condition in a get, according to everyone, is kosher. V'Heichi Domi L'Achar HaToreif, and that's if the get, if that's if the Tanai was written after the Toreif, and of course it would be a condition in the Almanas form written in after the Toreif. This is of course Rebbe Zera as he presented the whole issue before. Notice if you use navigate with Gemara markings under Rebbe Zera's Divrei Hakol, remember, we have the double underline divrei called the top of the omid that was coming off the expression of Aliachara Toreif divrei hakol kosher. The Gemara asks, why in redoing the source did Rebbe Zera, we'll say, change the words, the word posel into the word kosher? Velema hareze posel, keep the expression posel in the get and change the divrei hakol to verebi. What would come out? That writing a condition into the get would be posel according to Rebbe. And since we're dealing with Rebbe Zera, I think it's safe to assume that would be a case of writing in a condition before the Toreif. So why didn't Rebbe Zera say that? Why was Rebbe Zera so interested in preserving the expression Divrei Hakol, but willing to change the word pusel into kosher? The Gemara answers, Tana Divrei Hakol Asne, the one who learned this Tanaic source, he was clearly taught the expression Divrei Hakol. Kosher beposel michlifley. People can make a mistake, can confuse, can switch around the word kosher for posel or posel for kosher. So that's what got switched around. However, harei zeh bedivrei hakol lo michlifley. People wouldn't make a mistake between those expressions. So that if in the original version, if the original version was taught using the term Divrei Hakol, you can rest assured that Divrei Hakol is part of the teaching. What was switched around was posel when it should have read kosher. But to suggest that we're going to keep the word posel and say that kosav get al tnai harei ze posel instead of the term Divrei Hakol, and then say that that's according to Rebbe, that's going too far. People would not confuse the expression Harei zeh with the expression Divrei Hakol. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.